I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, teaching and learning. That's the sound of education in the time of coronavirus. Specifically, my 11-year-old daughter learning to play trumpet and connecting with her instructor via Zoom. And like her trumpet playing, the education system is moving ahead with a lot of sincere, focused effort and some starts, stops, and sputtering mixed in. In some places, it's going well, like Cindy Estridge's chemistry class at Kings Mountain High School.
This just really pushed me out there, and I'm so glad I did it. I'm getting a lot of good feedback from them. They like it, and it's really, they're seeing exactly what they see in the classroom.
Creativity has been key up and down the education system. My 18-month-old niece in Ohio is still able to work on her downward dog as part of her regular toddler yoga class, thanks to a video sent by her teacher. A math teacher in New Hampshire measured his yard, and his students figured out he'd need to run 623 laps to complete a marathon. So he did. But all this change has not been without some challenges and outright fears for people like Jim Tisnato, a ceramics professor at East Carolina University.
Panic, I think, was the first thing that I thought of. We're all kind of scrambling. And, you know, I feel like I've been, like, dropped into this, like, hostile environment, and now I'm having to, like, kind of MacGyver my way out of it.
These are unprecedented times for school administrators, educators, students, and parents. For so many, school is not just where classes take place, it's the primary social gathering place. And some things, like proms and graduations, will be lost forever. Let's start there with WUNC's two education reporters, Cole Del Charco and Liz Schlemmer, and try to first get a sense of just how seismic this shift has been felt in the education community.
This situation has created so many new problems for education in a very short amount of time. You know, how do you connect teachers to students? What about technology problems and internet access? How do you feed kids? How do you pay non-teaching staff who can't come to work? You know, social distancing is a challenge to some of the basic principles of education. School is people. Learning is social. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that schools are made of people means that there are thousands of teachers and school employees out there helping administrators solve these problems and connecting with students. And parents are taking a more active role in schooling, and kids are being asked to take more initiative in their education and hopefully having fun with it.
Yeah, and that obviously sort of starts at the top, Cole, with the changes made at the State Board of Education. What have they done, do you think, has had the most impact throughout the system?
I think the biggest change the State Board of Education has made is what they did just last week in their major changes to grading. They basically came out and said, we don't want remote learning. We don't want students having to adopt this whole new way of being in the classroom and teachers having to do the same thing. We don't want that to affect grades negatively. So they gave these three separate guidelines for K through 5 grades. They really don't want to focus on grading very much. They gave some circumstances where you're allowed to grade students, but really they want to focus on preparation and improvement for those students. In grades 6 through 11, they said teachers can continue to grade, but they wanted to make sure there were pretty big exceptions for students who might not have Wi-Fi, might be taking care of family members, and they really are telling teachers to kind of play it by ear there. And then perhaps the most notable is actually the change they made for grading for seniors in high school. They said they want everyone to be able to graduate on time. They said it's really important that these students are still prepared to go to college, but more than anything, they don't want students, especially students who are passing on their last day of class, to have to worry about their GPA and all this other stuff that maybe might be very difficult to deal with right now. And so the decision they made with that is that students who are seniors who are already passing their grades on the last day of class, unless schools resume before the end of school, which doesn't seem likely at this point, they will go ahead and pass. And then seniors who weren't passing, they're going to provide some guidance for how schools can help them get to passing so they can graduate on time too.
and freed a little bit from some of those grading challenges, if you will. It's really allowed teachers and students to be a little more creative about how they implement different classes online. And you can imagine how tough that is. Art classes, gym classes, how do those move online? Liz, what are you hearing about some of the more creative efforts that teachers are making and students are making for that part in how they're learning online?
I talked to a ceramics professor who said his initial reaction was panic. He said teaching the potter's wheel is definitely out this semester, but he's still going to film himself building a kiln to show his students. And another art teacher who teaches painting told me students might not have canvases for their final project, but they could paint on other surfaces from around their house, like wood or fabric. And I even talked to one professor who's using virtual reality headsets to teach his class in a virtual classroom.
Wow. And Cole, you have experience with the virtual reality headsets and teachers doing that. And that was in a school in Raleigh, if I remember right. But obviously, a lot of folks across the state, families don't have that access to broadband internet. And I'm wondering how families, especially in rural areas, are coping with that.
Well, that's one of the things that's really hard to know right now. Every district has its own unique set of problems. Just last year, every single classroom in North Carolina finally got Wi-Fi. So this, you know, might kind of feel like a bummer, like we're going back to resolve a problem that we thought we had figured out. And actually, the State Board of Education issued a study just last year to look at that gap in broadband access for students at home. But we know from a national study that about 70% of teachers assign homework that requires Wi-Fi, and about 33% of students don't have that. Mm. So, you know, more or less, we can expect those numbers are probably pretty similar here.
Right. And that creates all kinds of issues, not just for high school elementary students, but university students as well, who a lot of whom go home and don't have access to broadband. Besides moving classes online, Liz, what other adjustments have the universities made?
They've also given some grading flexibility. A number of universities have announced a pass or fail option. So if students don't like that they get a C minus at the end of this difficult semester, they can change that to a pass. And some universities have already offered to refund students room and board. The UNC system has indicated that they're going to make a plan to do that soon. Commencements are going to have to be postponed, or we might even see colleges coming up with creative ways to celebrate graduation for students. And overall, colleges are going to have to start balancing their budgets and figuring out what they have to cut. And I think before long, we're going to see that that means cutting pay for student employees and some support staff.
Well, and that makes you wonder what those students are going to do. They're obviously not immune from the financial issues and economic issues that are affecting so many of us in the country right now. What are some of the financial troubles that are specific to students?
I mean, I think immediately a lot of students had to travel either to get back from studying abroad or to leave campus and maybe go home to their parents' house that could be states away. And students who have stuck around may have lost access to dining services. And of course, students are losing part-time jobs, whether they're off campus or on campus. And you know, one issue here too is that those federal checks that are going out to so many families aren't going to go to college students who are adults if they're claimed as dependents on their parents' taxes. So they're missing out on some of that support. And a lot of colleges have started to set up emergency funds to help students with some of these unexpected expenses.
Liz Schlemmer is WUNC's education reporter. Cole Del Charco is the Fletcher Fellow for Education Policy Reporting. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Tested is a production of WUNC North Carolina Public Radio, and this is a good time to say thank you to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we cannot say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't manage without your help. So thank you. And if you're able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or perhaps increase your support.
My house has not only been filled these past few weeks with the sounds of an 11-year-old learning the trumpet, We're also blessed, if that's the right word, with two high school sons. My oldest, a senior, probably won't have a graduation. His spring sports season was cut short, and he's faced with staring down the final month of his college selection process with all of this uncertainty. One of the bright spots has been his creative writing class. Stuart Albright is his teacher, and the latest assignment was writing an essay on what those students are feeling right now. Here's what Mr. Albright's students are telling him.
One of the advantages of this whole time is that it gives students the time and the space to really think about what they're feeling. And there's been a lot of mix of emotions, I feel like. Moments of sadness, moments of appreciation for this time to sleep in a little bit and to just be with family. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety. And there's just a lot of boredom. Students don't know what to do with their time. So one of the most interesting themes or views that's come out that I've noticed and what I've read is that how many of my students and their peers seem to be getting their news almost entirely from social media. And many of them are beginning to realize just how faulty that system is for getting good information. They're just noticing there's just a lot of rumors out there. A lot of information seems to swing so far to one side or the other. And a lot of them don't seem necessarily to have the capacity to know where to look for good information. And that's a little bit alarming to me, that we maybe in schools have not done a great job of teaching them ways to find information other than social media. It's just so prominent in their lives. The biggest thing, fear, boredom, fear for their parents' jobs, boredom of just being stuck in their house, a feeling of isolation and imprisonment is what some of them have been saying to me.
Stuart Albright, creative writing teacher at Jordan High School in Durham. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.